Hello, cyclocross and mountain bike friends, and welcome to episode 73 of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, it's another episode of Crosshairs Radio with Taylor Jones and also Kevin Hayes. We do a full rundown of everything that happened at Sea Otter, then we move over, talk about the Bundesliga mountain bike series that's happening over in Germany with some of the top names. We get into downhill for a bit. We talk about enduro. We spend a lot of time rehashing the 2015 Australian Cyclocross Nationals. Yeah, but it's all awesome. And thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for supporting Crosshairs Radio. Thanks for supporting the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network, which you can learn more about at wideanglepodium.com. Go over there, become a member. Also want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor of this show, Health IQ. Go to healthiq.com/CXHairs. Fill out a quick survey. Learn more about the life insurance opportunities that Health IQ can provide for you and sign up. If you need to get in touch with any of us on the show, shoot an email to feedback@cxhairs.com and call the hotline. We need some calls for our mountain bike show. So hit us up, 405-CX-HAIRS, or on Twitter, @CXHairs. All right, let's get right into it. Here is our show, episode 73 of the Crosshairs Radio. You're going to hear me say exactly that right now. All right, we are recording. This is episode 73, which I really don't need to say because I would have just said it 2 seconds ago in the intro, but I like to be a redundant completist. But we're back for another Crosshairs Radio with Taylor Jones, who's in the basement.
Hey, hey.
And also Kevin Hayes on the phone.
Brap.
So I just wanted to start with you guys. Actually, you know, we're going to talk about mountain bike racing, but on the pro level. So no better place to start with what you guys did over the weekend.
Yeah, I was stupid.
It was 50 miles of stupid.
Yeah, the stupid 50.
Yeah,
STOOPID, the stupid 50.
Not a race, a lifestyle enduro event.
Amazing. And it was
actually, it's for the stupid 50 people that did it.
That's true.
Was it only 50 people?
40 finishers.
40 finishers. How many starters?
50.
Yeah.
And 50 miles.
Yeah. Well, tell me about what this was all about. What it looked like.
Yeah, it took place out at in Shenandoah, out here in the east coast of Virginia. And we went over a bunch of mountains and went down a bunch of rocky descents.
Basically, it's five huge climbs followed by, you know, five incredibly gnarly single track descents.
All right, let's talk about bike choices. We'll start with you, Taylor. What'd you ride?
I rode Hardtail 29er with big, fat, like 2.4 knobby tires.
If you were to do it again, would you change anything bike-wise?
Yeah, probably. I mean, full suspension bike. Let me tell you, by the time I got to about 6 to 7 hours in...
Yeah,
I definitely would have rather had a full suspension bike. Kevin wants me to tell you that I wish I would have had a dropper post.
Oh, yeah. So full suspension and a dropper post.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you needed a dropper post?
It couldn't hurt. So to give people who don't know what riding on the East Coast is like, if you ride in like Colorado or California or places where there's no rocks, you would have very much disliked the last descent on Lookout Mountain because it is entirely rocks.
For how long?
I'd say like 3 miles.
Yeah, it's probably what, a good like 20-25 minute descent,
just all,
yeah, just basically there's nothing like,
yeah,
let it go and let your wheel choose your line.
Well, in some spots, and then there's some spots where it's like the rocks are not flat, they're sticking up, so you
have to go around.
It's a little more techy. I mean, it also makes it tough because you're at like, when you get to the bottom, you're at like mile 47. So you're almost done.
Yeah.
So you're at the most tired.
Right.
Yeah, when you get to the top of that last climb and you're like, oh, yes, now I get to go downhill. And then you realize you go downhill on rocks for the next 20 minutes.
Yeah. But that was a good time. It's a good event. A lot of good folks out. Good weather. It was a beautiful day. Like, the weather could not have been more perfect. 70s, sunny, breeze on the top of the ridge. I didn't get sunburned, so that was a big victory.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something. And this when was the last time you raced your mountain bike?
Last summer.
When was the last time you raced your mountain bike that far?
About 5 years. Yeah, let's talk about Kevin's bike choice, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Mine was pretty standard.
Yeah, you know? All right, Kevin.
All right, I did that on
the Enduro bike, right? The full suspension Enduro, just...
The one that he had set up with the 27.5 fat
steel
tires.
Single speed Hanzo.
Nice.
Yeah, it was hard. I don't want to say I rode it. I probably walked a lot of it and then rode some downhills.
So it was kind of like an Enduro.
Something like that.
You were your own lift.
Yeah, so, but I did have the dropper post.
Yeah.
But, okay.
I also double flat though. So.
Oh, really?
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it made my day a little slower.
Any flats for you, Taylor? Nothing.
No mechanicals, just physical.
Teammates mechanicals.
Yeah.
Holding you up.
Well, no, I mean, I would have stopped. I would have hoped that others would have stopped to help me if I'd been in the same situation.
Yeah. One of our teammates decided to have his wheel seize up on him. How many miles in?
No, not even half.
Yeah.
Not even halfway there.
Then he went from
22 gears to one.
To fixed gear.
Yeah. to kick bike.
Doing like the, is it the Brooklyn Bridge? What's the commuter bridge in New York where you always see the fixed gear guys are just like, you know, legs out and just letting it spin going down the backside of the bridge?
All of them?
Yeah.
On Williamsburg.
Williamsburg Bridge. Yeah, I think you're right. That would make more sense.
Yeah. No, it was a good day, though.
Good.
So,
it was a really good day. Chris Scott put on excellent event.
Yeah.
I'd
highly recommend it to everyone when you come back through that area. We stayed at the Stokesville Lodge this weekend, which was also just amazing. I was there since earlier in the week, just riding a lot of the Shenandoah Forest there. So it was just wonderful.
Should we give him a plug? What's his website?
Shenandoah Mountain Touring.
Is that it?
Well, and Stokesville Lodge.
Yeah, StokesvilleLodge.com. You can go there.
Yeah, it's pretty rad spot. You can rent it out. You know, there's tons of gravel rides. If riding gravel roads is your thing, if you want to ride single track, there's tons of that. If you want to like shuttle and just do enduro runs or downhill type stuff all day, there's tons of that in the area. But there's also nice roads with very little traffic for road riding.
So if you're from like Colorado or the West Coast, you should come out there, do a weekend there, and prepare for nationals.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That would be perfect. That would be there you go. That's a good plan.
All right.
There's one day out there that my wife shuttled me to the top of Red Knob Mountain.
Reddish Knob.
Downhill on a mountain bike. All it was like a 1 hour downhill. It was pretty spectacular.
Fantastic. Hey, speaking of, I want to go back to my I don't want to give enduro a hard time. I'm all for enduro. I think it's a wonderful thing. But since we're talking about this, should we talk about the Grand Tour Enduro that was announced today?
We definitely should.
Do you know about this, Kevin?
It's probably one.
No, please. I don't follow my Enduro enough, apparently.
Well, this is an Enduro. The Giro d'Italia for the coming year is going to have is it a jersey or just a competition?
It's a competition, but much like a lot of the other competitions they have that you know nothing about.
So
like,
there probably will be a jersey, some offshoot.
No, just a
competition. Inner race competition. Yeah. 10 stages, fastest descent.
Well, there are 10 like
segments?
10 segments through the course of the, and it's sponsored by Pirelli, the tire company. Yeah.
They are having an Enduro on the road, Kevin.
Is this a really bad idea?
Yes. The general consensus from everything I've seen today is that this is a bad idea. Especially,
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah. Are we going to see full face helmets in the Giro for the first time?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, forget bike change, helmet change.
And there, I mean,
you know what? We can finally justify disc brakes, I think.
Disc brakes. And at this point with the Giro there, I mean, isn't like over half the race not on tarmac at this point? Isn't it all on dirt roads and gravel roads?
Yeah, they've already done the gravel grinder.
Yeah.
Now they have the enduro. They have the time trial on the bike path, so they've done the path lead segment. they're just, you know, they're ticking them off.
They don't do that in Europe.
That's true.
That is outstanding. All right, yeah. So,
but here's the question, though: the guys who are really going for it,
yeah,
fanny pack.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
rapid pack. I got a rapid pack, Kevin. I'm all set.
Wait, you did?
Yeah, I went at Sea Otter. One of the things I came home with. It's pretty awesome.
Let's talk about what else happened at Sea Otter.
Sea Otter.
Yeah, so that was what, last week?
Yeah, I get so.
No, a week prior.
Well, last
weekend.
Yeah, 2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to all blur together. I feel like I was coming home for like 1 week, so it.
Yeah. It,
you drove back?
Yeah, so Bill decided instead of, you know, going across the U.S. to come back from California, he just went the rest of the way around the world.
Yeah, I think that there was an argument made that I could have driven home faster if I hadn't stopped. So I we'll get to Seattle, but here's how I came home. So I, you know, started out being smart guy, so was doing work with Trek, and then they just sort of dropped me off at San Jose. That's where I had flown into with my family, and we'd done a little vacation. Went and saw the Redwoods. Went and saw, you know, stayed in San Francisco a couple days, and went to Monterey for Sea Otter. And then, you know, which we'll talk about. But then going home, they had already gone home, you know, and I was staying until Monday. It's when we were all leaving. Most of the team was flying out of San Francisco. My ticket was at the smaller San Jose. I get there, get on the plane, get all situated, got my nice seat, very happy in an exit row. And, you could actually hear it. You know, it sort of sounded like landing gear, but you could just hear outside the window. It was like, and this went on for like 5 minutes and then didn't hear anything. And then all of a sudden the captain comes on and he's like, well, we're having problems with our engine starter, so we're going to have to, you know, this is, you know, I guess they don't turn like the big engines on until they're actually at the runways or just like taxiing out there. So then we had to go back. And since it's San Jose, it's a little airport, so they had to drive apart from San Francisco to San Jose to fix the plane. And this took like, and then there were like no more, like all the flights out of there, you know, they were basically like, and this was United, but they were basically like, well, if you can get a car, we're not going to pay you to get to San Francisco, but if you can get there, then we'll pay, you know, then we'll get you on another flight. I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. So I sat there and did work in the airport for 7 hours, finally got back on the plane, it started up again, and then I was changing planes in Chicago, and my connecting flight was like at 8 p.m. or something, I think, and we got in there at 2:30 a.m. So I did get a hotel room on United for 4 hours, which was pretty awesome, and then went back to next day, so already on day two, back to O'Hare, get on the plane. We taxi out to the runway. I'm like, going to finally make it home. And we just sit there. And then they're calling for a doctor. And then there's a doctor that has to go up to another row. And then all of a sudden, we're like, we need to go back to the gate, because we had to call the paramedics. And there's a medical emergency on the plane. And so it was another like 3 or 4 hour delay for that. Yeah. But then I made it home. And then trying to tell like cab drivers where Northeast DC is, and no idea. Yeah, I always go Catholic University.
Yeah, good luck.
I just have to basically take them step by step to get to my house. And they all want to go North Capitol. I'm like, no, just stay on New York. They all want to go North. This is local directions for all of you people not in DC. But yeah, so that was it. 30 plus hours of traveling home from Seattle.
And now Bill is here to tell you all about it.
Yeah. Seattle is like, if you've ever been to Interbike for the outdoor demo, it is like the outdoor demo on steroids. It's just
so like a lot of e-bikes.
A lot of e-bikes, a lot of dudes doing wheelies down the exhibition roads, you know, like thousands of people, and like people are like, hey, look at me, I can do a wheelie, you know. I'm sorry, that was...
I saw that you were not pleased with that.
I was not pleased with the wheelies. Yeah. Well, because, okay, here,
you know what though, those guys got nothing. They got nothing on the 12 o'clock boys.
No, they got nothing. It's true. Here was my problem, and I understand. I was being grumpy about it, but I was there. I have like this, you know, basically paid to be a pack mule. I got this big camera bag on. I'm holding this shoulder rig and all this other crap and trying to walk through these crowds. And then there are these people who are not even wheeling, just riding their bike, looking. They're just like, just not even like squirrels on crack, you know? So not going straight. And then they see something out of the corner of their eye. Oh, that looks cool over there. It's a, I don't know, something for a bike. I'm good on tech stuff.
Yeah.
cool new shorts, dude. So they go and they just like go right in front of you or knock into you. And I was just basically yelling at people to get off their, or not yelling. I was suggesting to people as I trudged through to dismount and walk their bikes. But this is a lot.
Walk your bikes.
There's a lot of tangents. Anyway, Sea Otter, yeah, big industry show. Basically some races, and the races are there for an excuse to have an industry show. I think it's pretty much the way it goes. The biggest draw, other than maybe Danny McCaskill, was the dual slalom. I think that was the big party event.
The takeaway from what I saw, I mean, like Pink Bike did a ton of coverage on the dual slalom. And the takeaway was, why did this disappear?
Yeah,
like, well, bring back dual slalom,
which will be awesome. And the funny thing for me is, like, you had the dual slalom, and yeah, so it's not there anymore. So you don't have like, oh my God, there's the world champion and all of these pro dual slalom guys that have showed up, because they just don't exist anymore, right?
Right.
So you have that race go off, and then the big press release and everything from Sea Otter the next day. That happened the day that what's his name, Nino Schurter, won the short track race. Yeah, that's not even in there. The only thing in the press release is about the dual slalom. Like that was it. That was the only thing that carried weight for Sea Otter for that day, which I thought was impressive.
Well, Nino Schurter did not win the short track event.
Not win the short track event. I'm sorry, you're right. He won the cross country. Sam Gaze.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's coming out of nowhere. Has he?
Is so strong right now. There's an American hope to watch. I mean, that he was,
isn't he from New Zealand?
Yeah,
he's not an American.
Yeah.
Do I get to edit that out?
Probably.
Oh man, it's okay. Thank you. Be our new national champion. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true.
Steven Ettinger is flying.
at least he was a national champion.
I'm just giving my credentials for why I was able to sit in for Tim on the Slow Ride podcast.
Right. Yeah.
New Zealand hope. But he's not the New Zealand guy. You should watch.
No.
I'm shadowed by the other New Zealand guy.
Are you allowed to share the backstory about the cross country race finish that you told me, or is that?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But let's talk about the short track to start with. First observation. So short track. I like short track. I think short track is a cool event.
Yeah.
I think that you need to actually give the people a course that has at least something technical on there.
So did they just do it on the cyclocross course?
Yeah. Yeah.
They also have a cyclocross race at Sea Otter.
Yeah. In April. The short track and the cyclocross course, the only difference was they put up a set of planks.
Yeah.
For the cyclocross race. I think that was the only difference. So it is on the racetrack, like, you know, for the car racetrack about a third of it. And then they go off to the side of it, you know, so it's the sort of sand dirt that when you go too hot into corner three and get a little loose in the back end and go off the course at Laguna Seca, that's where they're racing. So often this sort of dirt sand for most of it and then come back around. And then there's one like actual sand section that they go through for a little bit, and that's it. It's just, there's no climbs for the short track. It's just tarmac,
fast dirt and like 10 seconds of sand.
Did Carl Decker bring his cross bike?
He should have. He did not, but he should have. And I don't know if they've made some sort of rule or something, but there were no, everybody was on a mountain bike.
Well, let's remember though, when he won that short track race, he was on a road bike.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is true.
Like, yeah. Years ago. I mean,
you know, you always talk about bringing the tools for the appropriate tool for the course or the race, and that would have been, yep, the appropriate tool for that course. I mean, it was
well, also those laps, I mean, they were like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was great, and it was a 20-minute race.
Yeah,
and but it was still fun. But it was basically if anybody got off the front, which happened both in the men's and the women's race, then it was pretty much done from the beginning.
So it was kind of just like an exhibition. It was just kind of like, hey, look at all these people we have here.
Yeah.
And
so I'm trying to look for results.
Well, I mean, this is also part
can
of...
Can I just say something here for a second?
Yeah.
Please, go ahead.
Damn. Sam Gaze, Morgan Hill, California.
I don't understand. I'm fairly confident he's not American.
Well, that's where Specialized is based. So if they don't know that, they just put in the hometown.
Of course, Howard Grotz, also from Morgan, California. All right,
okay.
Never mind.
So according to Wikipedia,
oh no,
which is the pantheon of knowledge, he's from New Zealand.
Okay, I'm sure.
Well, if you go down one spot, he assures her he's just from sure.
that's either as far as they got or as far as he got filling it in.
Although if it makes you feel any better, in their coverage of the Whiskey Off-Road, Cycling News says that Sam Gaze is from Australia.
Okay,
which is probably more offensive.
That's worse.
Yeah,
well, that's what Anton Cooper was saying. He's like, everybody here just thinks I'm from Australia. They just think like New Zealand is a city in Australia.
And, are those the same people who think that Alaska and Hawaii are next to California?
Yeah, well, they are on a map.
Right.
They're down there in the left-hand corner.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, for Anton Cooper, it says he's from Canada, so I don't know what's going on here.
Dude, so that's how that happened. So they announced him. I got it on Philly. Anton Cooper, Christchurch, Canada. And he gets this look on his face. He's like, what? So yeah, that was pretty amazing too. They didn't know who Nino Schurter was, really, the announcers as well. I won't. Well, we all know all of the announcers who are
yep
doing this race, especially the guy who was doing the podiums. Just yeah, he's a great rider. It's like yeah,
you can
and,
say
and
that.
I think he finally got ticked off, got sort of clued in as for the XC race when Schurter's up there in his rainbow jersey. That maybe the guy is somebody.
Yeah, he might be okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, so Gaze beating Schurter in a sprint. It was basically those two guys the whole way, and that was pretty impressive. And I'm assuming Gaze also with the 38. That was what Schurter was running on the front for this race. So big.
Was that 38-10 combination for the sprint, I guess?
38-10, yep. Yeah. Yeah. Man. SRAM, which comes into play for a little bit for the cross country race.
So tell me about the cross country course then, because I couldn't really tell much from it.
The cross country course, again, so having seen all of the or most of the World Cup courses last year, I think that Lenzerheide was like a little dumbed down, but still, you know, it's still pretty technical. And then Albstadt, except for the chute, was like nothing. And those were the two courses that I was thinking, I may be able to ride this course. You know, and this course at Sea Otter, I would not have thought twice about riding. Like, it would have been no problem at all. It's basically climbing up a fire road. There's one little rock garden, or maybe like two little rock garden sections that are nothing, you know, like two or three seconds. The 3 mile thing that you were doing, take that and get about 10 seconds of that. And that's what you have, you know. And there's one where you saw a Schroeder like launching off of the one rock in the middle of it. That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the most technical that it got. And it was basically
just like a California cross country race, that like the ones I've seen at least.
Well, I think that's why Schroeder, you know, that's why, you know, I think, and to jump ahead, so it was Schroeder and Anton Cooper from New Zealand, who were together at Sam Gaze, also from New Zealand, was with them as well until he, you know, had, I think he had a mechanical and then some other stuff near the end of the race. So he sort of dropped off from those two. But I think that was the reason that Schroeder wasn't able to get a bigger advantage, because he wasn't able to use his superior technical skills to get away from these guys, because it was just a drag race pretty much the whole way around. But that being said, Cooper, just amazing effort, dropped off, you know, fell back to fourth, fifth. It looked like Schroeder was just going to run away with it, had like a 5-7 second lead at one point with about 2 laps to go. And then Cooper was able to get back on him and came down to a really exciting sprint at the end that I think that Anton, who had a 36 and an 11, was wishing that he had the same gears that Nino did.
So is this a SRAMs versus Shimano thing going on there?
Yes. Yeah. But it happens to be the case for that race, but I mean, they're never going to be in that situation again, really, because they're going to have much lower gearing anywhere else they are.
Right.
So, yeah. Anton, yeah, he was pissed. He wanted to win. So that was pretty cool to see. So I think that he is definitely somebody to keep your eye on. I am biased. But he's somebody to keep your eye on. He's looking pretty awesome.
Is he going to be racing U23 this year, or is he going to be racing up?
He's racing elites.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how the age works because he is 23, but yeah.
Mean, I look forward to see some of these younger guys working their way up in these World Cups, some fresh faces.
Yep. And, you know, I guess we'll just stick with the men's cross country. So Howard Gratz, nice ride for him as well. He was right up there. The old man, Todd Wells, there in fourth place. Cameron Ivory in fifth place. And on down, our new favorite, Sam Gaze from Morgan Hill, California, in eighth place. Your national champion, Steven Ettinger.
Yeah.
In ninth place. Jeff DeBusch. Who was like 12th place in the cross country race, but what was he? He was on the podium, I think, for the short track.
Yep.
So, yeah, he was third.
Yeah, he's a short track crusher.
Good race from him.
So I have a
That's good. I'm glad to be seeing some more stuff from him again.
Yeah.
So I have a question. This was something that we had posed in advance of recording, is short track cross country just an American phenomenon? Does this happen anywhere else?
I kind of like, doesn't it seem like it's sort of like crit culture?
Yeah.
I mean, clue us in, people who are listening who are not in the US, were those smarter than us in the US?
I mean, my take is that that's totally what it is, because people don't have the like attention span or the time.
But I think it's also the same thing, you know, and we have friends who have short track series that they run that just like a crit series, it's much easier to find a place that you can do it and put a series of races on, because, you know, the terrain, you're not taking up as much terrain, it's a much easier administratively, an easier race to run.
Is it though? Because why aren't there like, I don't know, I've never personally seen one myself in our area. Like, is it easy to find a short track course, or are those like custom built for, like, do you need?
I don't know. We should get our friend Spencer Hackett on here so he can talk about the short track series he runs in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. I don't think it would be hard. I mean, I think we could, there are places that we have ride and practice bikes now that could be decent.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Bear Creek, the short track course there really. It wasn't anything special. It was fun. It had two little rock garden sections. Other than that, it was like a gravel road, and then, you know, just some like
grass.
Yeah. So it really doesn't take much, and you're looking at 3 minute laps.
Yeah. So I added to this because I think another thing that's definitely an American phenomenon is the fat tire crit, which I think is pretty awesome. Like, that's something that has long history at mountain bike races in the US. Like, they had it, you know, Cactus Cup had fat tire crits. They still have it at the Whiskey Off-Road. They had one this past weekend, won by Sam Gaze. Yeah.
New Zealand's favorite son.
So, I mean, I think that's also totally like an American thing. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of Euros would probably scoff at the idea of putting
one. What's going on over there, Kevin?
Sorry, that's Morty running around.
I think the Euros would scoff at the idea of putting like less than 2-inch wide slick tires on their mountain bike and racing them on the road.
Yeah. They may not do that in Europe. No. But it's also, it is, I see it similar to almost what we see in music with the mix of every genre into now we're just in like one genre where, you know, like hip hop and everything else used to be separate and now it's all together. I mean, even look at Paris Dancaster. Did you see the crit?
Yeah.
That looked insane.
The gravel crit?
Yeah, it looked awesome. Like, that there was a
sweet.
That off-camera.
There was a gravel crit.
Dude, and the road race looked insane, too.
But like, even the crit had, like, one of the final turns. I think Adam Meyerson on his Instagram had a clip from it coming around, and it's like this off-camera grass turn.
Yeah.
Coming towards it. And, you know, friend of the show, MVDH, taking the win. Michael Vandenham in the crit, winning that, so... Pretty awesome for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that looked like a lot of fun. So maybe somebody should race their fat bike on that. Or fat wheels, not fat bike.
Their e-bike. Oh. Yeah, I saw in as a side note to the Sea Otter stuff that, you know, they have, did they have an e-bike race at Sea Otter?
They did have an e-bike race.
Okay.
They had an e-bike race on the
auto,
figure quote, pro XC course.
Okay. So whatever, they did that last year, whatever. There is an e-bike cross-country race series in California.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
I wonder what the...
So if you live in California, please go check one out and let us know what it's like.
What I need to know from somebody who does that series is that when you go into the technical zone, are people switching batteries?
I mean, I gotta hope this is kind of like F1. Like, you get number of pits, number of tires, you know.
Well, if it's like just mountain bike, you can't change your bike, but I mean, if you can change everything on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Maybe that's the advantage. Like, you have a higher tech battery than your opponent.
I also want to know the tricks, the e-bike mechanic tricks for the quick exchange of a battery when going through the tech zone. You know, what are you duct taping on there? How are you setting it up to be able to get those really quick changes on the batteries? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I rode an e-bike a couple times. It was really good for transporting camera crap to the top of the hill. So that was good.
That definitely sounds like an underserved demographic.
Did your battery die on the way up?
Thankfully, no. Yeah. My.
If you don't know, Bill doesn't have a great history of riding demo bikes at bike industry events. So anything could happen.
Those things get really heavy once there's no battery. Really not fun at all. But yeah, this was fun. And again, with that dumbed down course, I was able to ride on the course with the e-bike.
Do you think you could beat Nino in a sprint?
No. Not even on an e-bike.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think he would stoop so low as to ride an e-bike.
No. If he was on his regular bike, yeah. And I was on an e-bike.
Yeah. I did see from his Instagram that he stuck around and rode the trails in California for a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, Switzerland looks picturesque, but they don't have redwoods.
Exactly. Yeah. The redwoods are amazing. Kevin, those trees are really big.
Like, how big?
Well, I mean, you need like 20 people to put your arms around them. It's pretty impressive.
How many rings do you think that thing's got?
Well, there are a lot that have fallen down. So you see, and you can't really see the rings. It's kind of crazy. You see it. It's just all sort of solid. Hmm. So
here's a question.
Yeah.
What's wider? The trend these days in mountain bike handlebars or the trunks of redwood trees?
I can tell you that there were a couple times where the trees had fallen down and they had to tunnel through the trees, which is pretty amazing.
For the mountain bike race?
No, for the trails that we were hiking on. And you could have easily, I don't care how wide your bars were, these trees were so enormous that the tunnels they could make were so enormous that you could go side by side. You could even go three wide, I think, through some of these little tree tunnels that they had chainsawed out.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Hey, we should talk about the women results from Sea Otter.
Yeah.
Short track. Jenny Risbett. So, yeah?
Yeah, she's been looking good.
Been looking really good. Really strong.
I was happy to see that she came over and just kind of crushed it. It was kind of like similar to an Olympic course, right?
Yes. And it is awesome that she came over. I mean, along with Nino and then like Jenny making the trip over was pretty awesome to see. I guess Scott. We'll have to give a pat on the back to the Scott SRAM team for sending their folks over. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, her and Kate Courtney really off the front from the beginning of that short track. And talking to Emily Batty after the race, they were all, you know, they had a decision to make once Risveds and Courtney sort of flew the coop to chase or to, you know, really be a little more conservative since they had the cross country race the next day, which was really the main event for all of these racers. And it was, I think she was like, it was apparent pretty quickly after those two got off the front that nobody was going to, you know, go into the red for too long and burn too many matches that could affect their race the next day in that chase group. So they really ended up racing for third.
But you know who it really didn't affect? Was Kate Courtney and Jenny Risveld next
No.
day?
Yeah, not at all.
Not at all. But I think once they were out there, well, I mean, but they had the best of both worlds because they were able to make that effort. They were able to get out front and then they could look back and see, well, we don't have to like crush it because nobody else is really going to get on our wheel. So then they were able to race strategically out front and then race also strategically in the chase group. So it worked out. It worked out well for everyone. And then you have people like Katarina Nash, who ended up fourth, who raced the short track, came back the next day and raced the cross country, and then went back later that day and raced the cyclocross race.
Yep.
And won that.
So can I ask you a question? Was there decent prize purses here for any of this, or were these all just sponsor obligations?
I have no idea what the prizes were. I'm assuming it wasn't anything great.
Yeah.
Be my guess. So,
yeah, this is just like, they're just out there just doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Batty, smart, following Nash. She was like, that sand part was just like a cyclocross race. So she was going to get on Nash's wheel through the sand and then was able to out sprinter at the end. So that was pretty exciting. The Clifford team, good showing with Katarina. That was the former Luna team that is now the Cliff Pro team. So Katarina Nash, Catherine Pendrell also up there in the short track. Aaron Huck, who's been doing amazing this year, is in the top 10. Sophia Gomez Villafane, who we know from cyclocross because of the
not being able to
not yeah race for national. The U.S. Yeah. Well, no, she raced nationals for the U.S. but wasn't able to race,
right, couldn't go to worlds
and now has just kept her country affiliation, not the U.S.
Yep.
Yeah, she's looking awesome on the mountain bike, so that was really cool to see. Yeah, so that was short track. Should we talk about the
cross country?
Yeah, women's cross country. Oh,
first place, Kate Courtney.
Yeah, Kate Courtney. So what were you saying, Kevin, where she didn't burn too many matches on that race before?
Yeah, apparently she picked the right amount.
Yeah, Aaron Huck again, looking awesome. Second place, Jenny Risveds in there on the podium for third. Haley Smith, good ride for her. In fourth place, Emily Batty. In fifth, her and Nash hanging out again. Katarina Nash in sixth place. Catherine Pendrell.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh place, Leah Davison. I mean, look at that top 10 even, and that is a strong World Cup showing.
Yeah,
just in the U.S. at Seattle for the women. So,
do you expect us to be seeing all these folks later on in the season, the World Cups in the top 10, or you think some of these folks are getting out hard early on, getting their opportunities now, and we might not see them as much later on?
I'm hoping you'll see them. I'm really excited to see what Courtney and Huck can do. And the first World Cup is what, May 18th? So I mean, we're just a couple weeks away. Nové Mesto in Czech Republic, and that's followed up the next week in Albstadt in Germany. So we are right around the corner from those first two rounds of the World Cup.
And yeah, you'll be there live on spot commentating.
I will be there live, not commentating. I will be pack muling again, which will be awesome. Never been to Nové Mesto, so that's gonna be a lot of fun to start.
We're good.
Really looking
Czech
forward
Republic
to that.
Is rad. You're gonna enjoy that.
Yeah.
How many flights will that be to get there?
Probably fewer travel hours than to get back from Sea Otter.
Just one.
Yeah.
Just going to Munich, I believe. And okay. Driving from there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then we just drive to Germany from there.
Yep.
After the Czech Republic.
So we should talk about what the Euros in Euroland have been doing to get ready for the World Cup.
I think that was a wrap on Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed like Sea Otter is just as an amateur seems like it's sort of fun because there are a lot of things to go race, which could be cool, and you're going to get a pro setup. You know, you got announcing, you got timing, you got, you know, an actual finish line with a huge truss, and it looks cool. So if you're in California, I think it'd be pretty cool just to you can race every discipline you want. That seemed neat, including dual slalom and enduro. Although I think the best comment I heard the week from my media cohort for Trek, Matt DeLorme, who called the Sea Otter enduro race the cross country stage race.
Perfect.
Not that technical, Kevin.
Just got to fly down it, just cruise.
Yeah,
basically. Yeah, just hit the button on that dropper post.
I think you would have been fine without your full face helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All
right. Well, luckily they make all those full face like detachable helmets now, so you can like pick and choose as you need.
Perfect.
Let's talk
Bundesliga.
Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the. You want to talk about like a stacked result sheet? That's pretty. Pretty solid. This was yesterday. This is round number 3 of the Bundesliga series. So that was pretty good.
I'm still looking it up, so you're gonna have to start on this.
All right. We're gonna talk about it. So
Bundesliga, I'm assuming this is a German series.
Yes.
Just like the soccer Bundesliga.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the Huebacher Mountain Bike Festival Bike the Rock.
Yeah. So Nino Schurter in Sea Otter, his nemesis Julian Absalon in Germany. So I'm assuming Absalon probably just took it.
Wrong. Yeah, was Matthias Flückiger. He took it by a pretty big gap, like 2 minutes over Jordan Saru and Florian Vogel, and then Absalon like another minute back. So yeah, I mean that's pretty. Pretty solid result for all those guys, but I mean they're familiar names from any World Cup top 10.
And again, you know, it's sort of fun just seeing you got the Swiss versus the French, really, in this.
that same dynamic. Yeah. I mean, you look in the top 15, you have one. You know, only two Frenchmen in the top 15, but you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Swiss in the top 15.
Yeah.
So that's tells you that that's probably what the World Cup is going to look like again this year. I mean, and you were talking about also like a lot of Swiss guys who are normally further up there that didn't have great days, like Lars Forster. You know, he was 38th. Normally, he is pretty solid.
Do you know what top 10 Seattle needed in their results? Like the Bundesliga has little flags next to their names.
Yeah,
I would have done much better with little flags.
Yeah.
Assuming they got them right.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Well, you know, just like in that race, Katarina Nash, winning the cyclocross race, according to Sporza, she is from the U.S., so.
Yeah, they've been saying that for years.
That's an easy enough mistake.
Well, but, it even more so, because I talked to her a little bit waiting for her podium, and hope to get her on the show soon, and I was imploring her to race more World Cup cyclocross.
Yeah,
and she's just like, it's just not happening. She's like, she loves it, it's a lot of fun, but you know, they're paying her to race mountain bikes, so
yeah,
it's gonna stay in the U.S.
Yep. But so the women's side of things, the Bundesliga, I mean, that was also a good race. I mean, really, you have top three or they're pretty close together. And especially after a big frustration last year at World Championships, you know, for Sabine Spitz, you know, for her to win, that's a good, pretty good way for her to start her season going into the World Cup, because, you know, she just had that awful mechanical.
Right. Yep.
When she was either in the lead or second place at Worlds last year. So that was, that's a good result for her.
My Frauen aren't coming up on my results.
Your what?
The Frauen.
The women?
Yes.
Oh, here, you can.
No,
you
just can... tell me who else is.
So second place is Yana Belomoina, the young Ukrainian. She's actually had a really good season so far. So to see her on the podium, that's probably, I mean, at least probably the fifth or sixth podium she's had this year already.
And apparently her race team is American Eagle.
Yeah, well, she races for what's his name? The guy who does the commentary, Red Bull.
Oh,
Brunchens. Bart Brunchens.
Yeah, Bart Brunchens.
Yeah, she races for the Brunchens team. Okay. So, yeah, and then third place is Annika Långvad. So world champ, third place. Yolanda Neff, fourth. So. Yeah, I mean, pretty good, pretty good top three, four there. So,
yeah, interesting. That is, Langved and then Yolanda Neff, definitely ones to watch going forward. I think Yolanda Neff is one to watch this year. I think she had that, injury and off year last year, but. And when she raced, still just so impressive. So it's going to be really interesting to see.
I'm curious to see if she has if she takes a different approach to the races this year, because last year it seemed like her tactic was just go as hard as possible on the first lap.
Mm-hmm.
And more oftentimes than not, that just meant that just blowing she up. Just blew up.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it's a different approach.
I feel like that she, because she didn't go to Cannes last year and... You know, I feel like she just felt almost like the pressure to be the dominant force from the line for the races she showed up, and it just didn't seem to always work out. So yeah. Yeah, once again, the women's races, those are gonna be awesome to watch. I can't wait for that. In Nova Mesto in a couple of weeks. But that looks like a great series. That Bundesliga series.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, they have good web presence too.
Oh yeah,
well, you know,
yeah.
I mean, as far
they
as
they actually have a website that you can see,
yeah,
which is not easy.
They have a Facebook page,
yeah, as opposed to Julian Absalon's, which was last updated like in April of 2016.
Yeah. Well, if you want to follow some of these races, you should follow the Randon Factory Racing Team Instagram account. They're actually really good. Like between them and Scott Mountain Bike Racing, like it's pretty easy to follow sometimes what's going on a lot of these races.
Okay.
I don't know much about the Randon Factory Racing team. They're
the Swiss team.
They're a Swiss team, but they do a good job on the social media.
Nice. Anything else European we need to talk about, Taylor?
I mean, there was also, if the results page will load, but you know, for Italian race yesterday also, which, you know, now the page doesn't want to load for me.
Well, I can tell you that the Instagram account that Kevin was mentioning is RADON and then Factory XC Team. So give those guys a follow.
Yeah, but I mean, there's also...
They have a picture with a podium bike. That's all I can tell you.
Hey, how many people were on the podiums at Sea Otter?
They did 5.
Mm.
Yeah, they said they were only going to do 3, and then they ended up doing 5. And then Todd Wells missed his podium. That's all I remember.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah. They changed the times. We're gonna. That was not Todd's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have another topic that I want to discuss that we were Bill and I were discussing briefly before we started recording, which is I guess we lied when we said we weren't going to talk about World Cup downhill because we're getting ready to talk about it.
Yeah. No, we got to talk about it.
So the first round of the downhill World Cup was yesterday. And yeah. Lourdes in France. And the big news, the crossover to cross country news, is that first time ever team is running 29ers on the World Cup downhill circuit. So Santa Cruz has a 29er version of the V10, and that was raced for the first time yesterday. Which
why would this be considered controversial?
I don't necessarily know that it's controversial as
or against conventional wisdom.
Generally for downhill you see small wheels.
Yeah. Small wheels. The idea is it's more technical, faster acceleration, a little shorter wheelbase on a bike that already has a giant wheelbase.
So but you were saying also that the conditions, again, we were talking about racing the tool that set up best of the conditions when you have a course like in Lourdes where it's
super technical and it's crazy steep and turny.
But it wasn't like really fast, twitchy turns, right?
Once you get to the bottom of the course, but up at the top, it's pretty tight.
Yeah.
And super, super steep. But I think the real reason that Santa Cruz was running them this past weekend was they want to get it dialed in before the next round in Fort William, Scotland, because that's a course that's just like straight down and it's super rocky.
Yeah.
It's not super technical. It's just, it's technical because of all the rocks, but it's basically a straight shot to the bottom, really high speed. And so they think that obviously the bigger wheel will have a much bigger advantage on a course like that.
Got it.
What I enjoyed the most was listening to the commentators not have any idea that they were like, well, there's no way that they can be running a mud tire because 29ers are so new, like there can't be mud tires for them.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, they might be new for downhill, but 29er tires have been around for a while.
This is like basketball commentators that 15 years after the three-point shot came back into the game were still saying when somebody got fouled and made the shot and then made the three throw and saying, oh, I got 3 points the conventional way.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. I don't know. I think big 29ers are going to be coming back in here shortly. I think that's definitely a thing. I mean, I think that 27.5 got big for the past couple of years, but I think people really just realize they like their big wheels.
Emily Batty riding her 29er.
I mean, I think it's coming back too. I mean, Giant is coming back out with like the Anthem Advanced 29er. So they
are committed to the 27.5.
Yeah, they wanted to beat everyone over the head and tell them how great 27.5 was, and they're coming back with the 29ers. So we'll see.
I've always been a fan of 29ers.
Yeah, you're like 9 feet tall.
That's right. It was the only bike I can get on that I look normal on.
Right.
as opposed to somebody who's like, you know, 5'2" and looks like they're riding a horse and has a,
that would be funny,
negative drop,
yeah,
you know, stem on everything. And
yeah. That being said, I did ride my 27 plus this weekend and it was pretty plush.
Yeah, Kevin rode tire pressures as high as 9 PSI.
Whoa, all right.
Yeah.
Almost breaking into double digits.
It was like butter.
He's going to be ready. Crazy. He's training for the fat bike race at Sea Otter next year.
Oh, yeah.
As long as it goes downhill very fast.
I don't think, did they have a fat bike? That was the other thing that was weird about Sea Otter that, and maybe it was just because I was extremely busy, but it was a little disconcerting. There was a cyclocross race that went on, and I guess this, you know, is supposed to be a cyclocross show, and that's really where I sort of do most of my stuff. I didn't even go. Yeah. I didn't even, I was like, oh, I think the cyclocross race is going on now. It was just sort of sad. It seemed like it was cool. They started the men and the women together. Tobin, a bearded McTubbin, Tobin Ortenblad, taking the win for the men, I believe the second year in a row. And then
got a win for the local sponsor.
That's
man.
It. That's yeah. it. Got to do it for them. And then, yeah, Santa Cruz. And then Katarina Nash. I think there was a lot of Cliff. They may have been the whole podium, the Cliff team. And yeah, so that was just a little odd. That was like, oh, you know, ran into Jeremy Powers just hanging out at all of his sponsors.
He didn't race.
No, he's not an idiot.
No. Yeah.
Wasn't he out there DJing?
That's right. He was DJing.
You cannot let the bicycle racing interfere with your DJing. We all know that. How could I have forgotten that?
I'm not saying that people that race were idiots either. I'm sure it was a...
You're just saying that the idea of having a cyclocross race in April is idiotic.
That may be what I'm getting at. Yeah.
You might not be able to say it, but I'll say it.
I think I had the did I have the results up here? Yeah, okay, so we'll do it. Katarina Nash, Magali Rochette, and Caitlin Bernstein. Those were your top three. Mm. And then Emily Kaczorek, great race by her in fourth. And then Serena Gordon. Teal Stats in there in the top five, six. Yeah. So, and then for the men, Tobin, Justin Lindeen, Craig Ritchie, Robert Marion, Carl Decker, I'm assuming on a cyclocross bike, and so on down from there. So, good times. Good times on the race.
Yeah, it looked like Decker was out front for a while, but he had a mechanical.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, since we're like almost an hour in, I was going to do this in the middle of the show, so I don't have to do this in my intro, but, let's talk about sponsors real fast. I'm just going to tell you all, we'll get to the one that we can talk about. I'm going to talk about first, Health IQ, which is a life insurance company. And what they can do is go out and find you the best rates on life insurance, especially if you're a cyclist or if you have a healthy lifestyle. They are attuned to that. They're going to ask for all of your information. And then based on your great physical condition, they're going to get you better rates than other life insurance companies can. And they also know that some of the things that we do as endurance athletes and some of how our bodies react to it that other life insurance companies look at negatives, like, low at resting heart rate, or let's say you're a sprinter and you have a higher BMI, even though you're in amazing shape. Those are things that can hurt you, usually when they're getting rates for you, looking at life expectancy, that kind of stuff. For cyclists, not so much. They can get you much better rates. What you need to do is go to healthiq.com/cxhairs. Fill out a survey. You can take a little quiz on cycling and see how you score on that. And then they'll just get in touch with you. And it's a good thing. It's all a good thing. And if you go to that website, go to healthiq.com/cxhairs. It helps us. It helps us as a show. It helps us keep Health IQ happy and keep them as a sponsor. And they are actually one of the sponsors that is right now doing a lot to support all of the shows that we have on the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network. And that's the thing that I want to bring you all into. Kevin, what's the have you been listening to any other shows on the network recently?
Oh man, I've been listening to Lindsey Bayer's podcast a bunch.
Yeah. So even the last one, it was sort of fun. So you get Lindsey's had some great guests on there, you know, really interesting stuff. She's had Jono Coulter, who's her partner and also the co-owner and the team director for the Superman Hagenberg's team. She's had other folks that she's raced with. She had Ted King on there. But then this week, Julie Kaliza, another one
Julie
of
was
teammates,
great.
That was a great
somebody
one.
Somebody who we are
really, really good.
All friends with as well. And she just crushed it. Did an awesome job. If you don't know Julie, go to the Dirt Field recordings. Go to wideanglepodium.com. It'll be right there on the front page. Check out Julie's show. I'm sure you're going to be a fan not only of Julie, but also of Lindsey and that Dirt Field recordings podcast. The other one that I've been really getting into also is We Got to Hang Out. I was able to meet those folks at Sea Otter, me and Spencer Howe, who is the head man at the Wide Angle Podium, and also
so
one of the
you got to hang out.
We got to hang out with.
We got,
we
to,
got
hang,
to
out.
Hang out.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's some epic meta. Hang out stuff there.
Well, and then so we're at dinner, and then all of a sudden, you know, and they, you know, we all just met up for dinner, and then also so sort of showing up late, there's Courtney McFadden, who hung out as well at dinner. Emily Kaczorek out there hanging out at dinner. It was a good time, and it was nice to see other people on the network in real life. So another awesome show. I think they have the Radivist on the most recent show. So that could
be. Oh, I look forward to that one.
Yeah, that could be a really cool one. John Watson on there. So check out We Got to Hang Out. Always check out the Slow Ride podcast. They continue to be one of my favorites. There are, how can I put this? There are corporate podcasts out there that try to mix comedy and pro cycling, and even though they have a bigger platform, they are not doing the quality job that Tim Little Guy and Spencer are doing on the Slow Ride podcast. It is a laugh out loud experience week after week.
That's definitely true.
Yeah. What am I leaving out that I wanted to talk about shows? I don't know. Go to wideanglepodium.com. The main gist of this is I want you to see to subscribe to all the shows. I also want you to become a member. I want you to be part of this community. Oh, what I wanted to mention is Bicycle Retailer had this article out last week in the print publication, so can't find it online. Maybe it'll be there eventually, but it was...
I can, you know, make...
You can make copies.
Yeah, I can make copies. I got a stack of them at the shop.
Tim
so,
made
you
some
know.
Of the worst like scanned copies that he was sending, where you know all the pages weren't flattened out. And so I sort of got the idea about the article, but it didn't mention any of the Wide Angle Podium shows, and that sort of pissed me off. And then on top of that, it didn't mention one women's cycling podcast. And you know, we have a lot on the network, but there are also others out there. Sarah Connolly does a great one as well. Mm-hmm. and just to miss all of that was just I think a huge miss. So that sort of put us, I think, in this underdog position in the world of cycling podcasts, and that's something that we want to get you involved in. It's always good to be on the side of the underdog. So go to wideanglepodium.com and become a member. You can do it for as little as $5 a month. All right.
Yeah, do it.
Back at it. Oh, Eliminator. Isn't that starting this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Believe so.
Is it? I've already lost track of it.
Yeah, it is. Where is it happening?
Urban mountain bike.
Oh, yeah. Urban...
Here's well as these guys look at citymountainbike.com.
That's what it is.
City Mountain Bike.
I can tell you this, and I'm even a bigger fan of the Eliminator right now, because I was looking through all of the rules and regulations, as I am wont to do for these kinds of things, and the payouts for the UCI race, pro men, pro women for the day ranking, and then also for the weekend, equal pay.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah, no one else in the World Cup's doing that.
Nope.
So give it up for the Eliminator.
Yeah,
So,
We should point out that
amateurs, they pay the women less.
Yeah.
Well. But at least that, you know, which I think they should fix, because it's really not that much money for the men or the women. But yeah, at least they're equal at the top. So that was really nice to see.
Yeah. I should point out we did get some shit about
Let's talk about Eliminator
last time.
Did we figure out where this first race is?
Yeah, it's in Italy. This coming weekend.
Okay.
Volterra.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so we talked earlier about Michael Vandenham, who did really well, Paris to Ancaster. he called us out, Kevin.
I think he called out Kevin.
Okay, he called out Kevin. All right, Kevin. So, do you want to explain why?
Okay, well, apparently someone's been listening to our podcast and isn't cool with us cheering on Van de Ploeg in the Eliminator.
And because, why? Yeah, why?
Because, you know, maybe he pulled on somebody's cross bike during the Australian National Championships once.
I know if you all follow this podcast and you follow cyclocross, you remember this clip. It was 2 years ago at the Australian National Cyclocross Championship. They're coming around the last turn.
Yep.
And there's a little rubbing his race in that I guess Van der Ploeg took a little more offense than he should have at. Ended up great. Do you remember the guy whose bike
he also had Dutch name?
Chris Jongewaard.
Yeah, Jongewaard. Yeah. That's right. So those two guys going after it. In epic way. You all need to go and look up that clip.
Was he the one doing the tugging though? I don't remember that. I can't remember if he was the one that was pulled on or not. Like, I can't remember which was which. So.
Oh no. Okay. You all talk and I'll have to pull it up and we'll do a live time.
I don't know, man. Rubbing is racing.
Yeah.
I'm saying is we're talking about eliminating mountain bike racing now, a whole different thing. So
you're saying maybe those skills, will come into play.
I mean, did you see the last UCI Eliminator World Cup from these, World Championship from the Eliminator race? Like, there's a massive crash at, like, the very end of this Eliminator race.
Yep.
And, like, the guy just came up out of third and, like, won this thing the one time. So, I mean, a lot can happen.
I'm sorry, I had the sound on. All right. My problem is I don't know who's who.
Van der Ploeg is the really big guy. I think
Van der Ploeg is super tall.
Yeah.
Okay, so probably in blue.
Yes, correct.
Coming around the corner, it's a 180. All right, they are into each other. They have these poles in Australia. I don't know what they are. They do stakes, and maybe they're better.
If I were doing a course walk, I would probably not be a fan of that.
Yeah, and the little teepee. So it's not a. It's still a 180.
No, that's a 180.
Okay. All right, we're still going here. Coming around the corner, we got the right elbow in there. They both go down. They get tangled up.
That's a tight turn.
Coming back out. There it is. Oh, yeah. That is an off the bike. So he's the smaller guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, who was doing the tugging?
Let's see. Lock handlebars. I don't know.
You know what? In hindsight, going back and watching that video, I don't know. I feel like that incident, that was rubbing his racing right there.
It's like if he is down in a squat, he has both hands on his rear wheel and is pulling him back like he's in a strongman competition where they used to pull the trucks with the rope. That's basically what he's doing with the back of his bike while the guy's trying to ride away. Should we see if there's any commentary?
You know, but I think no.
Okay, they also what is more offensive?
Are those barriers?
Oh man, those little barriers are the best.
Is it more offensive that the guy grabbed his rear?
Oh no, Van der Ploeg is in the good here. Okay. Yeah, he's fine.
Was he the one in black in the giant kit?
Yeah.
No, he was in blue.
Blue?
I got tucked on. Yeah.
Oh. So what the hell is that? All right, Vandenham. You're gonna have to come on there. You're calling in next week and defending yourself here.
Yeah. I don't know. I would
want to know what Michael's take is on the Italian National Cross Championship this past year, where those dudes
was amazing.
They were going for it in every corner. And finally, it was like, well, you know, I'm just going to put you in the tape in this corner because I'm going to dive on the inside and win?
Do you know, I talked to Drew Giuliano mm-hmm. when I was at Sea Otter, and he's got this really cool program set up for this coming year. I think he's going to come on the show, so we'll be able to sit down and talk to him. But one of he raced some of these Italian.
Well, he raced the World Cup, and then he raced a couple of the
Fuji World Cup, and then he stayed there. First question I asked him: what was the first question I asked him about his domestic Italian cyclocross racing experience? First thing I asked him about the race was what. Something that he had to do. Did you have to?
Oh, I have no idea.
Did you have to dismount on the course?
Did you have to put a sticker with your number on it on your helmet?
Okay, that's a good one.
Answer? Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Oh, perfect.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but he said those races were crazy. So, but he's going to come on.
Yeah, the photos he had of the like local I guess they're UCI races, but they're, you know, like C2s look pretty crazy.
Yep. All right, so once again, going back to this Australian National Cyclocross race, and you all can search this, it's on YouTube, just go Australian National Cyclocross Championship controversial finish, and you'll find the clip. And what I want you to tell me, is it more controversial about the grabbing of the wheel or about the telephone poles that have been, or actually,
no, those are not even telephone poles.
No,
you know what?
Edging. No, there was a Scottish Games that was at this field the weekend before, and they just left all their cambers there on the course, and that's what they're riding over.
I mean,
perfect.
Looking at it a little further, I don't think he was actually pulling his wheel. I think he was just checking his tire pressure to see how he
so was at the cyclocross handshake.
So he was doing the cyclocross handshake. Okay. I think
he
that's was
like,
right.
Oh, that's how you took that inside quarter. You all right? I'm like, yes.
Right. No, I think that's perfectly legitimate. I mean, we talk about that in skills, drills, and belly aches. You know, usually you do it to your buddy at the beginning of the race. You go up, grab their front wheels, see what they're doing there. You know, pressure wise, go, oh, you're okay. Yeah. Seems a little soft there. Or you know, normally you go, really? That's you're gonna run that much pressure? but. Yeah, I think you're right. He just changed it up. Maybe that's you know, that's an Australian thing. You do it in the middle of the race instead.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I mean, their seasons are all backwards, so maybe the logic gets all backwards. I don't know.
Cyclocross handshake. That is the answer for that controversy. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, glad we cleared that up.
Good. Okay. What mystery would you like us to solve next time?
You can please give us your hot takes on that finish or anything else that we've talked
Call
about.
Call into the hotline.
Me not knowing that Sam Gaze was from New Zealand. Anything like that. 405-CX-HAIRS. 405-CX-HAIRS. And let us know. Or you can just email us at feedback@cxhairs.com. Anything else on our agenda here we need to talk about?
I think we should talk about that webpage of those Rob Warner quotes you sent.
Oh, yeah.
That
if anyone hasn't seen those, then, I mean, it's a must, I think.
This is amazing.
So this actually came up at dinner at Sea Otter, the Trek Factory Racing.
So let's start off with, I mean, in case no one is familiar, which I think everyone is, who Rob Warner is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's done quite a bit of stuff.
He's the guy who does the commentary for Red Bull for the World Cup downhill races. So former pro downhiller.
Doesn't know that there are 29er mud tires.
Yeah, apparently not. Probably never seen a 29er in his life. But, you know, he's like multiple time British national champion, mm-hmm. World Cup winner. Which was great because Claudio is giving him shit that the World Cup race yesterday was won in the same fashion that Rob Warner won his World Cup race, and that the weather conditions changed drastically. So the guys who went way early in the day, who had really slow qualifying times, just crushed it.
Yeah.
And that's how he won his World Cup.
Hey, man.
Like, he had a really early start time, and then it just torrential rain after him. So that's how he won his one and only World Cup. But this is also a guy who he did a thing for Giant last year where he did two back-to-back runs, one on his like 1998 team issue Giant downhill bike.
Oh yeah.
And then another run on the new Giant downhill bike to see which one was faster. So that was interesting. What was more
interesting?
The new one. Yeah, sorry. What was more interesting and more amusing was these stories that he told in conjunction with it about his life as a pro, where basically he just partied all night.
That dovetails well into what we're getting to.
Yeah, that he just partied. He would like go to the course, ride, qualify, race, whatever, and then just party and drink all night, all through the night, and then do the same thing the next day.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Downhill.
Yeah, downhillers, man.
Still amazing. But so he is, you know, the voice of Red Bull for the downhills. Before he was on Red Bull, which is a legit, you know, UCI broadcasting outlet, they would broadcast the races on Freecaster.
Yep.
And he openly admits again to being pretty much half in the sheets while or six sheets to the wind or whatever I'm screwing up there, drunk while doing these. But regardless, some amazing things came out of this man's mouth during this, starting with he's angrier than a man with a fork in a world of soup. So I don't know if there are people that are like following downhill, you know, religiously listening to this and think that we're basically doing a Phil and Paul like type thing. Not the same as we move on.
No. So what's the best is that not only has someone collected all of these great Rob Warner isms.
Yes.
They have superimpose them over like
inspirational
vistas and amazing nature photos. You know, like the first one that Bill just read is people dining at the end of some, you know, like Mediterranean overlook with a perfectly blue sea behind them.
Yeah, and the next one is this kid who's like in a bathing suit, looks like he's on this beautiful cliff overhang looking down at these yachts and this beautiful just seascape, and your inspirational saying is he looks like he shit a Lego Death Star.
No, but like some of these are really smart, like a lot of these are really funny, but like my favorite one was he's offline like a Russian border.
That is the best one. Yeah, he's offline like a Russian border is probably the best one.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's, I don't know, I mean they're all amazing. So
I would say that for people who didn't know him for his commentary, he was most famous for the when he called the Danny Hart's winning run the first time he won a world championship in the torrential pouring rain in Champéry, Switzerland.
And the quote of the day was,
how can Danny Hart sit down with balls that big?
There it was.
Except he was basically screaming into the microphone.
He's on a rampage like a dog with two dicks.
All right.
Oh man.
Well, check all those out at
so this has been around for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
January 12th, 2016 has only now come to our attention.
Yeah. I'll link to it in the
It's pretty amusing, in the
finger quote show notes.
Show notes, okay. Yeah.
But it's on Empora.com under fitness. All right.
Perfect.
See, we talked about that. Check. I think that's it. I think we did it.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, I forgot something. Ooh, so, okay. You know how I was complaining how there's no cross-country races around here? Well, some local guy here started a local cross country race series in Knoxville, and now there's like a cross country race every weekend here, or every week.
That's amazing.
Yeah, every Wednesday now there's like a little local cross country race here.
Wednesday Worlds on your mountain bike.
Absolutely, for like the next 2 months.
Man, Wow.
They could make a, if they had it at the World's Fair Park, it could be the Wednesday World's Fair.
Hey, that would make an excellent eliminator course here. I'm just saying.
Start it.
Sounds like you got some work cut out for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, they're already doing road nets there, so or at least Starry ended it there. So
maybe they'll have an enduro segment in the road race at Nationals.
I can only hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. They may have some more Red Hook-esque crashes. Or is the course wide enough this year?
There was a pretty big women's crash in that Red Hook's race this year, I think.
Yeah, that was impressive. That was impressive. Yeah. I'm blanking on his name. Mustache. Mountain biker.
Tristan Yule?
Yes. Didn't he do okay?
Fifth, I think.
That's pretty awesome.
Fifth or sixth, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was reading that he said he waited. He like sat back a little too long, but was generally pretty content.
Yeah.
Yeah, that race sounded like it was insanity.
Yeah.
The final for both the men and the women. Can you imagine, like, the women's race was won in a field sprint, like fixed gear field sprint?
Ugh.
Does not sound like something I would be interested in participating in.
You know what I would not be interested in participating in? A field sprint in a fixed gear crit? The media scrum.
Yeah.
No way I want to get into that that photographer pit at the finish line.
I mean, I guess Red Hook's super off topic this base, but do you hear how they changed the qualifying? Like, you had to write an essay or something telling them
why you should have been accepted into the entry, the application.
That
would have been awesome if they did it for the qualifying and you had to write the essay on the spot. Yeah, like 20 minutes.
yeah.
And then they judged it.
No,
Isn't there a time trial-esque type?
But they changed the qualifying as well.
Yeah, wasn't more of a time trial?
Well, there were heats, and then they had like the super pole,
yeah,
which basically filled in the top 16 spots in the grid. And then they also changed the last place qualifier because in the past, the top 10 all got in, but they just put them in the back of the race.
Mm-hmm.
But this year it was, if you won the last chance qualifier, the winner got on the grid in the first two rows, and then the other nine were just in the back of the field.
So you almost go take the chance of not qualifying.
Well, the guy who won got in from the last chance qualifier.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know what else they should
do? And he was the first person to ever win that wasn't like in a gridded spot.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
They should also give one of those top here's my pitch for Red Hook for next year for the qualifying. Last chance qualifier also put you up near that in that grid if you win the 5K.
Ooh, yes.
So what we need to do is when our friend Dan Chabanoff, former Red Hook Crit winner and now mountain bike racing aficionado.
And fantastic preview for the race. And what was it in?
Cycling tips.
Cycling tips, yeah.
And post-race. Cycling tips, the official media partner of the Red Hook Crit series.
Well, you know it wasn't going to be Velo News.
Yeah. Well,
after last year.
Yeah, true. Well, when we get Dan on here, you know, we can ask him when he's going to race the 5K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he run?
Whenever you guys start holding 5Ks on the cyclocross courses.
That's your moneymaker right there.
Isn't that Greno does that, right?
But they have like a
mountain bike race, they do it.
Yeah, but they have like a legit trail race. It's more than a 5K.
Okay.
But like, think about the DCCX 5K race. I'm just saying.
I think that's not a bad idea. We should do that.
Come on,
Could we handle like 5,000 people showing up, though?
I like the relationship I have with the Armed Forces Home.
you don't want to kill that. They had an Oktoberfest there. They're fine.
Yeah. Until you have to pick up 3,000 goo packets.
That's the worst thing. We should have like a carry in, carry out 5K.
Do you have to use goo packets to 5K?
I think it's mandatory.
You have to have. What is the thing you just got called?
The rapid pack.
So you have to have a rapid pack with like four water bottles and like 10 flasks of gel for a 5K.
Isn't it like
it's mandatory?
I mean,
Who calls it a rapid pack anyways? It's a fanny pack.
Bontrager.
Okay.
go look at my Instagram feed.
Okay.
Do it right now, and I want you to read me the description.
Okay, hold on.
Taylor and I will talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Okay.
But here's a question: do Red Hook Crit events that don't happen in the U.S. also have a 5K, or is that just an American thing?
They have a 3.1 miler.
Nah.
Change it up. Make it exotic. All right, what does it say?
It says the Bontrager Rapid Pack. It's spelled rapid, but pronounced fanny.
Thank you. One step ahead of you, Kevin. One step ahead of you.
Did you get the one that has a little camelback, like, water pouch in it? Bladder?
An actual bladder? No, it's got a little space for a water bottle.
Okay, see, now, like, all the mountain bike ones are making ones that have, like, a little, like, 1 liter bladder in it that have, like, a hose that come from your hip up to your mouth.
That seems, a lot. Like, a lot. I guess I could just tether it to my earbuds.
This is true.
a whole system. Okay, we're gonna stop this. But this was really good. I enjoyed this, and we should do it again soon. And maybe oh man, I don't know. I think we should try to do this. We're all gonna have to do it on Skype, and maybe we'll do it. I can call in live, or not call in at least from the venue, from the Czech Republic.
Do they have good internet over there?
No idea. Most of Europe, no. I can tell you that. But we'll do that. But maybe we'll get in here at least one more before that. Thank you all again. Let us know your questions, comments, concerns, feedback at cxhairs.com. Also, call the hotline. 405 CX Hairs. And then go to iTunes if that's the way that you listen to your podcast, and subscribe, rate, review, 5 stars. Leave us something cool on your review. It always makes us happy. And healthiq.com, CX Hairs/CX Hairs, and wideanglepodium.com. Please become a member. We got a lot of listeners. We got a lot less members. It helps a ton. I want you all to be part of this community. I think we're doing some good stuff, and we would love to have you along for the ride. Taylor, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Kevin,
soon.
Have fun riding your mountain bike on the Wednesday series.
Oh, I will. I think I might have to recover still from this pass yesterday, but hopefully I'll get to some of these soon.
Awesome. All right. We'll talk to y'all soon.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah.